Okay, so we let that one go a little bit long because there seemed to be some interest in the questions, and the next speaker thought he wasn't going to take much time. So we'll try and hold him to that. Sorry, Kim. So Kim Schaefer is our next speaker. He's an IT specialist in the CMBP at NIST. And before joining NIST, Kim was the lab director in the crypto test lab at Signacom Solutions. He spent the past 30 years, my God, that's a long time, to be working in this. How many times did you go to the hospital? So he spent 30 years in information assurance, communications and commuter security, and digital forensics. Kim will be giving us an update on progress towards promulgation of FIPS 140-3. Please welcome Kim Schaefer.
So all of that wonderful experience is really not necessary for this thing. So they asked me, you know, will 40 minutes do enough? And I said, well, it really takes about 10 if I'm slow, and 30 minutes of questions if you want. So I'll leave it to you as to when you want to get out of here. But the short thing is, and before I even get into this, the status as of today is that these documents were submitted, were finished, and ready to go to our internal lawyers and people above me that have decisions to be made or whatever, in December. Okay? So we have not worked on these. They have been finished for, as far as we understand, unless they want something more done to them, okay, which is possible, but not that likely. I don't want to just throw them under the bus, because you do have to understand that there's been an administration change at the top of DOC.
We had noticed.
You know, and those guys are all trying to get their new role. So I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but I really thought that I would have an answer for you here today when we did this 4 months ago, right? So, as of today, what I can tell you is that it's still with them. They have not thrown it back in my face. I will go ahead and go through the documents fairly quickly for you, just so that unless there's changes, you will kind of understand that this is a giant wiring diagram and where you can go and look for what, because we have these two ISO documents, and then we have seven FIPS and six SB800 documents. So that sounds like a lot of stuff. They're all very short, and they're all tried to be to the point. So with that understanding, let's just go ahead and go through it. So this is what I'm talking about. This is really how it looks today. I will discount the two top, because CMVP has always had a management manual and implementation guidance. Some of that implementation guidance, of course, has already been pulled in through ISO, because we have gone through that process. So when I say the implementation guidance for FIPS 140-2 has already been addressed to a certain extent, and the rest of it will have to be updated for implementation guidance for FIPS 140-3. So to walk through, ISO 19790, that is the equivalent of basically, that is the equivalent of what FIPS 140-3 would have been if we had created the document. It is the update to FIPS 140-2, okay? It has gone through the ISO with CMVP being the lead editor in that, and we tried to make it as best we could, right? So that has gone through and been approved. In fact, it's even been updated once since it was approved. The other document, the ISO 24759, is basically what we call today the DTR, right? This is the test requirements, okay? So FIPS, the new FIPS 140-3, all it says is, hey, we want to use these two documents, and we're going to use these government documents in order to execute the CMVP program. Okay? So the SP-800-140 is essentially the DTR. It has the vendor evidence requests, the testing requests, and each shall statement, basically. The A through F are the annexes, okay? The annexes are in slightly different order. I can go through them, that's up to you. But the kind of the important things here is A is what the vendor is supposed to deliver, okay? That's really not gonna change much. The ISO didn't really make it so that we can make a lot of adjustments to it, but if there's a change in requirements, then we're gonna have to. The B is in this, the 140B is the security policy, all right? We've talked about a number of years possibly doing a security policy template. If that's the case, then we will put that through that, if you will. But as of today, basically the annex in 19790 is going to be the same as 140B. It will probably just point back to we haven't changed it. The rest of them have to do with the algorithms, the non-invasive, the authentication, all those annexes. Those annexes are gonna change. We're gonna take ownership of those. Okay. We're going to put in our requirements. Just as if we basically transfer what makes sense from the dash two, and then we have to add statements for the authentication and for the non-invasive. So those are going to be new documents. One of the reasons we had to go through this architecture is the old FIPS 140-2 left a lot of stuff in draft form so that we could change it. They did not want us to do that. So we had to come up with another structure that allowed us to make simpler change and to not have to go to the Department of Commerce secretary every time we had a simple change in our requirements. So the SP-800s are more under our authority. They're a little easier to change, okay? So that way we can do basically the same, operate in basically the same manner as what we have been operating in. The additional change here, which hopefully is apparent, but maybe not, most of these C through F will have a web page that will show the latest requirements. So even these documents shouldn't have to be accessed on a daily basis. The web, as we do for the validations, will become the authority, okay? So that's basically it. I mean, I can show you a few more drawings and all that, but I'm telling you the meat of it. Are there any questions or do you, yeah. Yeah, Kevin, Kelvin, sure.
My two least favorite documents I don't see up there. The IG document and...
The IG Web Implementation Guidance.
Oh, Web Implementation, yeah, interesting. When you go to this, is that going to go to like zero and start all over again? Or is it going to stay, it's be migrated from its present form?
So we've done or are doing a cut Obviously, there were a lot of things that we tried to address in Dash 3 when we were doing Dash 3 to get rid of a lot of the old IGs. So a lot of the older IGs should go away. The newer ones are going to have to be addressed. They may be changed somewhat because of the different language in the ISO. Or they may come across, but we're going to have to operate. But there will be an implementation guidance. It should be at least a sanitization, and it will eventually get, well, hopefully it won't get that large as a thing, because we still have this every 5 years, and hopefully with the ISO in place, it'll be a little easier to keep this updated.
And the last part of that question, will drafts of IG still be coming to us for comments, or will they just happen?
So that's a CMV programmatic. I would expect it to remain the same,
okay. But
I'm not the authority.
Okay. And one last little question, because I didn't
mention
two documents. 800-131A transitions, going to be worked into here, or is it still going to just stay on its own?
Yes.
You are not Sean Spicer. I want a straight answer.
Neither am I the person that can make that decision.
Okay, so there's no answer to that one just yet.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I'll let you off talk, Kim.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, Kim. So given that ISO 19790 is a paid specification, and there was some discussion, I think, last year that NIST or CMVP was going to be buying copies of them and distributing them. And you mentioned there's like it's a wiring diagram that points to ISO 19790. So does that still require having a copy of ISO 19790, or is 800-140 going to cover all of the requirements?
So there, I don't even think we legally could, but there is no copy or basically anything in ISO. I mean, in the FIPS or the SP-800 documents.
So it's like you mentioned, a wiring diagram that points.
It really is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an update on the copies that were mentioned that would be purchased and then maybe distributed to?
So I can tell you what I've heard. All right. So I've heard that we bought 2,000 copies. And that the only thing we have to do is keep tracking in place so that we know who those copies went to. That's what I've heard. There have been other programs that have gone to ISO and have just said, you know, this is a matter of doing business. We felt the pain, and we're at least trying to mitigate this. We got the general feeling that it was in everybody's interest to go to the ISO. And unfortunately, we're not in a position where we can just open it up.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Oh. You have to go after him, though.
Yeah, so time frames about when everything is approved?
So, you definitely will have some time. I do not know when the signature is.
Just give me a rough window. I don't know.
I don't. So, it's improved a little bit from what I thought originally, because I thought we were going to have to go through another round of comments. It seems that it's possible that we might not have to do another round of comments.
There's a chance that this will be the final when it's approved.
That's correct.
Okay.
Basically, all the questions that we would have wanted to have open discussions about have already been, through previous generations, asked and discussed.
And they approve the version 3, also approve the implementation guidance at the same time?
The implementation guidance is strictly the CMVP's method of doing business. So it's not really anything to do with the standards here.
Is there any time frame of when you approve it to when people have to adopt it, and grandfathers and all that sort of stuff?
There will be. I won't. So in general, we're kind of thinking that we would like to get this program at least within 18 months of when it's signed. That's a little flexible because we have a lot of things that we have to bring in. I would expect the Dash 2 to still be available at least that long,
yeah.
But There is nothing in the document.
My expectation is that the day that you say this is approved, you should also be coming up with dates of when these cutovers
exactly
all happen. Okay.
That's yeah. Until we get approval to move forward, we may have to dump this in the can and start all over again. So, we obviously don't expect that, but it is not our decision.
Okay. It could happen. I remember it was literally 10 years ago at this time period, and they're saying, we're going to be implementing this version 3, probably 2009. All
yes.
Right. Still waiting.
Yes. And believe me, I was there. I felt the pain.
I know there was a little divergence recently between FIPS and CC, especially with the collaborative protection profiles. The CC documents have been referring to ISO equivalent documents for AES. NIST is still referring to NIST SP documents for AES. When 143-dash comes out, will a number of those NIST documents go away in reference to be made to the ISO versions?
No, my understanding is we're going to keep with the SP800 documents.
And CC is going to keep with the ISO documents? Because there are
as
subtle differences.
As far as I know, that's yet to be discussed. But my understanding is basically, at this point in time, we intend to stay with the SP800.
Will there be any effort to try to maybe in future revisions bring them parallel?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
My first question is, I didn't understand the block on the right side that talks about web. What is the web part?
Okay.
Can you please collect?
That's a good question, and I didn't really explain. So what I was trying to do here is show the type of information that you can just go to the NIST website to find,
okay,
as opposed to have to dig through the standards to find.
Okay. Another question is the ISO 19790 and 24759, do you think that they could be updated parallelly? So if so, then would that affect 140-3?
So what we've tried to do is address this as those documents and their successors.
Uh-huh.
But if for some reason we have some serious issues with whatever happens, then of course what we will have to do is basically go to a newer version of FIPS at that time with our own full document. But we don't really expect to do that. But it was one of the things that was felt a risk that if we just turned it over to ISO forever, mm-hmm, that we lose control. And of course, the government never wants to lose control.
Mm-hmm. And the last point is the SP800 140-A through F that you have mentioned.
Yes.
Do they supersede the SP890? A, B, C,
so those documents are basically going to refer to those documents that you're talking about. It really is a wiring diagram.
I see.
Just like in, just like we do today, if you go and go to the annex and it says, for encryption you use these,
mm-hmm,
those are basically going to transfer over. Okay. So what you see on this new website that has the standards for the encryption and all those are going to be the same.
Question is, will there be more collaboration between CMVP and NIAP going
we
forward?
Hope so.
Because there's one difference between the two. Probably you talked about it. In the AES, CBC and CA. CFB, FIPS supports CBC mode but does not support CFB mode, but in NIAP it's opposite. They support the CFB mode, they don't allow CBC mode.
One of the things that is kind of a behind the scenes change, if you will, is there will be agreement within NIST as there always has been, but through FIPS 140-2, it's been the CMVP that have updated what allowed and approved algorithms have been on there. It will be the CT group that will be maintaining that list now. Now, I don't want to give that too much emphasis because the CMVP will still be involved with that process. Mm-hmm. But we felt that it should be those. And the reason, the only reason I mention that for your question is that to date, CMVP has taken a lot, the management of CMVP has been working with NIAP a lot, as has the CT group. But you've now got three groups that have to agree where that goes. Mm-hmm. And that's not me. I can tell you that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hello, I have a quick question. Maybe you already discussed about it, but if you can just, in this scenario, give a wrap-up a little bit. But, I mean, regarding the validation of the... So the program to validate the labs, how will it occur within this proposed program? Is it still the same as the current one, or will there be like new elements, or can you expand a little
bit? I'm sorry, will there be new elements to the
validation program for validating the labs?
Oh, so, yeah, good question. This is anything under the CMVP program will be the same until they change it. I didn't know any other way to say that. Are they working on improving a lot of things? Yes. Do we hope they get better? Yes. Do we have anything that do I know of anything that will change because of the -3? I do not know of anything that's going to change specifically because of the -3.
Okay, because the question is oriented because finally it's an international standard.
Yeah.
And so it can bring up different labs to do a similar evaluation that would be outside of this NVLab program. So just wanted some clarification.
Yeah, on that part. There's been a lot of discussion. So we already have labs around the world, not just in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, definitely. France, yeah, right? Japan, Australia.
Yes, all those. We are curious, I guess is the best way to put it, if there will be other validation authorities that wish to set up. We certainly have an interest in working with them, mm-hmm. but considering we don't even really know who they are at this point, I can't go much further than that.
So there will still be an oversight from the program about another evaluation coming from whatever country that is not part of the initial FIPS 140-2 program.
Yeah, so the ISO is very strongly aligned towards allowing a validation authority to have a lot of leeway, okay? That's basically what those documents are. There is nothing in there that was not specifically allowed by the standard for a validation authority. The only thing that we have said is that CMVP is becoming a validation authority and that we will exercise our rights as one to adjust things that we feel is needed. We will still be working with the ISO for any future needs or requests that we have, and that will be the focus of most of our changes. But as a program, such as algorithms or whatever, those specifically come under the validation authority.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. I should say I shorted CSE a lot because I keep saying NIST. And this truly is a joint, and it's just because I work at NIST, I speak out a little bit out of turn. So when I'm saying NIST, there is implicit agreement with from CSE, because it is a joint program.
Talking about leeway, so if you have a module that's validated under, say, 140-2 level 1, and you have CAVP, your algorithms are already validated, and they fit within the 140-3. Is it like a migration path, or will you have to start from scratch and revalidate everything? Or does that depend on the lab?
So are some differences that I think will make it difficult to just transfer across without a significant change. It'll be up to CMVP to
figure out.
Manage that.
Okay.
But just me having read the documents, I think for the most part, there won't be very many that can just come over.
Right. And as Ken pointed out earlier, you'll have some type of grandfather program for the 140-2, so it isn't like a cutoff as soon as 140-3 comes out. It'll still be valid for X period of time.
So I'm a little bit out of it here, and I'll have to ask Carolyn to at least correct me if I'm wrong, but basically there's a sunset program. Is there a sunset program for validations?
That are 140-2, yeah.
And that will continue, so we'll still have that.
Yeah, that's 5 years right now. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's.
And as far as I know, there won't be a change.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Will there be some recognition between both the ISO and FIPS 140-3? If you get one, are you okay to have the other one if you went under the CMVP scheme, for example?
So I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure there's actually a validation for the ISO because it has to be done under a validation scheme. I mean,
right.
Is
this the validation scheme in
not a
Canada,
scheme.
For example?
I'm
is
sorry.
There a validation scheme for that? It would recognize if you had a 140-3? Validation?
For validation the ISO? Authority is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, for validation authority.
CMVP is the validation authority for the ISO.
Well, so if sorry.
Is an. Right now we appear to be the only one, but we're an
okay.
authority.
So if I got a 140-3, then could I petition to have recognition of that under ISO as well?
I don't think there's any structure for that. I don't think ISO supports anything like that.
Oh, okay. What about the other way around?
The question you're asking, Lori, is if there's a Japanese scheme, let's say, or
yes.
a country sets up a scheme, and one were to validate a module.
Is there recognition, common recognition? My question is the common
okay.
recognition.
So that question I can answer. And it is yet to be worked out. But in general, I mean, we have been supporting this ISO for a long time, and we haven't been just supporting it for our own use. So I would think that we would try as best we can to work with other authorities. That being said, one of the reasons that you would want to do another authority is like you don't like our algorithms or something like that, so there may be some incompatibilities and we may have to negotiate on those type things.
True, and the algorithms are in Annex for that though, right? So you maybe just change the algorithms.
So the yes. So that, and that's exactly, that's just what I was going to say, is the Annex that was in the ISO is for CMVP is superseded by SB 800, whichever 180, whatever number that you're doing, usually C or D. And that would be the same, I mean, because this is what the validation authorities are supposed to do, is either adopt or just say we're keeping the same ones, or put country-specific things that they're interested in.
Okay, thank
Does
you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be convoluted. Yeah, I'm trying to be cryptic, but I'm not in encryption. All right.
I think we've got all the questions. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
All right, so that brings us to That brings to an end today's proceedings for the conference. The next appointment you have is out around in the exhibition area for the reception that starts in a few minutes. I understand that if you ply Kim with beer or wine, he can answer almost any question you might have. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning.